This is SG Pod, the Stargate Podcast.
Hey, good listeners. Welcome back to SG Fun, a Stargate podcast. I'm still Sarah. I'm still stuck in the middle of season 9 because I think you know why. And I'm here with my friend Tori.
Hello. Hello, folks. Welcome to the vertical watering hole where we're hanging out, comforting each other, ourselves, and hopefully you. And I mean you, not the Gua'uld you, but you, the good listeners.
Fuck that guy. Although he's one of my favorites. For ghouls. As far as ghouls go.
Yeah. Chill, bro. But we've got a new episode to talk about. The latest one that I've seen. The latest one that Sarah remembers.
Oh, right.
This is season 5, episode 19.
Menace. Reese's Pieces.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
Reese's Pieces. Mm. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, is it called Menace?
Although, you know, I thought it could have been called when androids had a CD reader.
I like that. I've got Attack of the Bad Decisions.
Yeah. Well, you know, going off that, episode 19, Robot Denial.
Stop it.
Oh, what?
I also have Robot Denial.
It's pretty good.
Okay, so I also have... episode 19, Abby Normal.
Well, I got episode 19, Daniel Misses the Eject Button.
None of my other ones are good. Which is not me presuming that anyone thinks the ones I said out loud are good, but I know I'm not going to say any of the other ones.
Well, my last one is episode 19, Daddy Gets Some Action.
Yeah, Action Daddy. Oh, no, how about
Action
episode
Daddy.
19, Action Daddy? Like a special release action figure of Daddy.
I mean, when you get that black tee on.
What? I know.
Oh, my God. Well, this episode aired April 26, 2002. Directed by Martin Wood, who we haven't seen for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so the story is by a fellow named James Tichenor.
Wow.
Although the teleplay is by Peter DeLuise. But okay. Here's the thing. So James, he's like a visual effects dude. And he's worked on SG-1 as a visual effects like supervisor for like the past like 3 seasons or something.
Okay.
So in essence, what this is
a visual effects episode.
Well, one, that, but also, you know, maybe James is like, oh, hey, Peter.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, James. I had an idea.
I have a script.
Yeah.
Outline.
And Peter's like, oh yeah, yeah. We need all the help we can get. Let's.
He's like, we are out of ideas. Last week we did Chris's idea. This week we're gonna do your idea.
Seriously. Yeah, and then he just puts, and then Peter just puts pen to paper, but that's it. But so everyone gets a credit.
I don't know what to say because I feel like I ripped. Peter apart last time for how bad the teleplay was. Like the dialogue was so weird and contradictory and it didn't make any sense. And it wasn't like that this time. So maybe it wasn't his fault. I don't know why it was that way.
Well, it's like, he's not really like, that's the thing though. He's not much of a writer. Like he's not like, he didn't have a lot of credits before.
I don't know. Do you think he's writing some of the funny jokes? Cause he grew up with Dom DeLuise.
I don't know.
Movies, right? Because do you think McNeil's been especially funny?
Yeah. Maybe that's his one. That's his strong bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, in any case, our strong bit is getting us out of tough situations, getting us out of tense situations because we're all about the comfort. Sarah, it's your turn.
If I would stay ready, I wouldn't have to get ready. And the truth is, we both know I don't get ready either. So All right.
I've got me and Daddy.
Time to save the world.
Yeah, yeah. You got 24 seconds. Summarize this episode. Me and Daddy got the keys ready. Let's go and go.
Okay, so they find a lady robot who is grossly like a child in her robot brain, and her daddy made her wrong. And so she made the replicators, and she destroyed her planet. She's going to destroy ours, but instead, McNeil shoots her, and Daniel is mad. What a dickhead. I mean, Daniel.
Daddy made me wrong. That's... No, you did win. You did win. We're saved.
Yeah. I haven't won in ages.
Yeah, we've been a little off the mark.
You know why? It's because I am drinking again. Because I am healthy enough to drink.
The wheels have been greased, folks. The cogs have been greased. We're going to get into some comfort as we debrief on episode 19, Daddy Made Me Wrong. Yeah. All right, well, should we debrief? Sarah, let's debrief this episode.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell happens?
Oh, man. Bad choices. Real weird, surprising, unsurprising choices. Like, I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised kind of choices. Because we start the Gate Gang. They're walking through ruins. There's no survivors. There's no remains. It used to be an advanced civilization. Probably, we guess so.
Looks pretty cool. It's fairly overgrown.
Then we basically walk into like a, I guess this high tech society, basically it seems like we've walked into a pyramid. Like we can't think of another way to construct a set other than we do pyramids, right? Like tombs and like, great. So, and then there's just a fully fleshy body on there and they're like, oh my God, it's so like perfectly preserved. And I'm like, that's gotta be a Gould, right? Cause it's fine, probably. Mm-hmm. But no. Well, actually, they're like, maybe this is like a tomb or something. And Carter gets all dark. She goes, or a science lab, am I right?
Whoa.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I guess we don't know anything about who lived here. And maybe they did shit like here's a full human on a table that they're doing science shit on. But no. Because the bod's got energy readings. And I'm thinking again, like, what the... Humans have energy readings, so.
I mean, they must be, you know, crazy ass energy readings or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because Carter's like,
but then we don't know what happens next because we get the lovely theatrical intro to this television show. And when that's over, we get glasses. Hey, glasses.
Hey, glasses. I'm glad you're working.
And he's talking to Daddy and he's like, hey, Daddy, SG-1's talking to us. And then McNeil is like, Carter found something. And I'm like,
Carter,
by herself?
Carter,
you were
Carter
there. Carter found a thing. I'm like, you motherfuckers were all there.
Yeah, she wants to bring it home.
Yeah, it's a robot. And Daddy, I want to keep the robot. Can I keep the robot and bring it home, Daddy? And Daddy's like, of course.
You're my only daughter.
Oh, yeah, right, right. For my You're one my little girl. Only daughter. You're the apple of my eye. I'm very different than your other daddy who sucks ass.
Now I don't know if you saw like, so the intergalactic Zoom service that they're using. I don't know what was going on because the whole scene is played out in the base where they're watching SG-1 and it looks like, remember like the late 90s MTV shows, you know, like the intros. Where they're like, hey, like, yo, I'm Jack, and like the camera all like shaky, and it's like zooming in. So I'm like, it's happening in this scene.
Welcome to video show.
Yeah, that the camera's like,
because I don't remember. I'm just like,
and I want to keep it. Daniel's like, and it could teach us a lot. And Jack's like, I don't know about this, sir.
Oh yeah, you're right. It was like swooping in on in, and once again, Teal'c's just not part of the conversation per season 5 usual. He's like, oh, was he there? Because I forgot. And that happens again in this episode. It's very annoying. Yes. Like there's a little powwow about what to do. And he's like in the toilet, I guess. And they're just like, let's talk while he's gone.
He's facing the corner, standing.
Yeah, he's just standing in the corner like, I might as well be a robot. Nobody talks to me. Anyways, like without even, I'm like literally what the fuck? Because they're not even, Daddy's not even like, why don't we wait a week? And see what else we can find out about this planet. Let's do a more thorough search of this planet for like information about what we've got here. But they don't. They don't, Tori. They bring her back. They just brought her right back.
Is this the bad decision number one? Like, start a tally?
Yes. Okay. They bring it right back. And then I'm like, okay, that thing's a fucking Cylon, but it's worse than that. It's a fucking Borgs. It's got nanos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
let's give it the most elaborate quarters we've ever given anybody. Like, let's make a kid's room better than we've given the actual children that we brought back. The actual children we brought back have been like, you're in the hospital part. She gets like a full on like kindergarten classroom all to herself.
Complete with random rug, chair, shelf of toys, and
like
the overlook.
Yeah, and there's like primary colored shit in there, like shelves. Like somebody went to IKEA and got all the kids' stuff and came back. You know, they got the budget. It was one of those things where like, if we don't spend the budget, they'll cut our budget. But if we spend the budget, they'll increase our budget. So someone go to IKEA.
I mean, this room gets turned over quite a bit. This is like the same room where they did surgery to get like the bugs out of people's systems that was turning people sociopathic, because it's the same observation windows on all the sides.
Sociopath bugs?
Yeah, yeah. Season 2, episode blah, blah, since.
You were gonna, I was like, holy shit, he's about to whip out the episode number. I can't
believe. Oh no, absolutely not. But I'm saying is this room is used for various purposes. But yeah, no, they cleared everything out to make just a little kids room. Which,
yeah,
did they make that before they realized she was?
I don't know, right? Because it's like you don't even question it until right now. I didn't question it while I was watching it. I was like, yeah, they definitely. I mean, like, because it looks like a kid lived in there forever too. Because the table that she later picks the scissors off of is all like full of like paper and like,
there's crayon graffiti all over it.
Maybe it's the mountains daycare and they're like, everybody take your kids home. We have an emergency. Yeah. We have a self-destruct system and a daycare.
A 5-minute self-destruct system as well.
My God. Which is such like, they even have time to get there in 5 minutes to reset it, to turn it off. That's crazy. That's a crazy self-destruct. Anyways. So Danielle's all like, yeah, robots and conceiving ancient people, conceiving of uploading consciousness to robots. And I'm like, why are you talking about, and that's some like, I don't know, not even Cylon, that's some like Caprica shit. The idea of like, yeah, you can upload your consciousness into the robot. And I'm like, don't you wonder, like, would it be you?
Whoa.
If you could upload your consciousness into like a robot of you, like, would it be you? Or would it be like a program that acted a lot like you? And you would feel, that program would feel like it was you, but you wouldn't feel like it was you because you wouldn't be feeling anything.
This is a question that has plagued many of people throughout many
years. Yeah, I spent a lot of time not thinking about it, but asking it to myself over and over as if I have the option.
Well, so. I mean, we've already thought about it in this show when Comtria Man made them, and we followed those people as if they were our protagonists for,
right,
not
so
just
no.
One show, but
the
two
answer
shows.
Is no. The answer is no. Oh, okay. It doesn't work.
Oh, good. You should write a paper.
Oh my God. Listen, if I thought anybody with authority who could tell me I did a good job would read my paper, I would write it. It's the only reason I don't do anything anymore is because I don't have any teachers to be like, you're amazing. So
they know that she's a robot look at it.
Oh, yeah.
And Carter sort of, she figures out a way to turn her on, basically.
And right. And so she's like, can we do that with like zero precautions?
Yeah.
Like, let's not strap this bitch down. We don't know what this could be, like a fucking killing machine. We don't know what it's designed for. We don't know anything about it other than that it has nanos. And let's just turn it on. And I guess we could bring two guys with guns, with rifles.
Dudes. Yeah.
They could be as far away as possible while still being in the room with Daniel Jackson between them and the target. And we'll take that precaution. But other than that, we're just going to put all of our most valuable team in the room with it and just turn it on. And then they interact with her. And I'm thinking, I bet this bitch thinks she's people. And I'm right. She does.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I was kind of excited to see what happens. And yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it was after she started talking a little bit. I was like, oh, she thinks she's people. Mm. And
well, yeah,
Carter doesn't get it.
She's like, where am I? Where's my dad? Who are those guys with the guns? Who's this weird dude? Like,
maybe
staring
it was
at
after
me.
She just kind of like started looking around. I was like, this is going to be a thing. She thinks she's people moment. And so DJ pulls him aside, and is Teal'c in this scene, in this conversation? I don't think so. He's not even in the room when they turn around. He's like, I don't want anything to do with this. Or he's like, they're like, he went to lunch, and they're like, okay, let's do the exciting stuff now while Teal'c's gone.
Well, I did have a fun note when they were talking about turning around. I was like, yeah, Carter's ready. O'Neill's skeptical. Daniel's excited. Teal'c is absent.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
I don't know. I have better things than to, you know, call me when you've created a real emergency and I'll come back.
Yeah. Maybe like the robot, like he doesn't give a shit. He's just like,
yeah. He's like, well, this is ill-advised. And let me know when it all goes sideways. And
he knows they're all bad decisions.
Right. And I'll come back and shoot some replicators for you.
I'll do the fun parts.
Yeah, I don't care about this. This is boring. I don't really work for you. Like, you guys don't pay me. I'm kind of an intern, and like, I'm not in class. I don't need to worry about it. Anyway, I don't care. I'm not coming. So yeah, they're kind of arguing about it. And I really enjoy this because, well, Daniel's already said like, oh no, your planet and your daddy are dead, but don't worry. We have a much better daddy here. But yeah. He's just like, yeah, your shit's all dead. And then they're having this conversation. And I like how Sam and Dana Jackson leave. And then she just kind of looks over at McNeil. McNeil's like, why am I standing here in this awkward fucking as fuck situation? So he's like, oh, excuse me. Goes and joins the convo. And I really like that McNeil and Carter are both like, why would we pull punches with a machine? It's a fucking machine. Let's just tell it it's a machine. And Daniel Jackson's like, man, that's not cool. Let's be sensitive about it. And, you know, which figures, it kind of tracks, because Carter's like, shh, it has a right to know it's a robot. And he's like, nah, that's a lady. I don't want to give her all the information. I don't like consent. I don't like informed decisions. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Let me just work my smooth move magic bullshit.
Well, I was trying to be like maybe Daniel was trying to explain to them. It's like, y'all remember when this exact same thing happened like 10 episodes ago, but it didn't happen to them. It happened to the other people, you know, or 20 episodes ago with their robot selves. Like, we went through that whole arc.
Right. And yeah.
They sort of took it. Okay. They took it better than others.
I know. Well, I'm like, ah, is she the destroyer of worlds? That's what I wrote.
No. Oh, damn, you were on point.
Well, you know, I wonder sometimes, I'm like, I've seen all these before. They like, is it hiding somewhere in my brain going, you know what, I bet. And I just like, yeah, maybe I'm a fucking TV show genius.
Nice.
But like, so yeah, so they're talking to her instead. They're just hanging out with her and asking her a bunch of questions. And she, meanwhile, she's fucking around on the computer. She's not like, what the fuck is this? She's like, yeah, a QWERTY keyboard. I know how that works. I get the alphabet. She's just fucking around looking at their computer. She's touching all their science stuff. And she's like super bratty, like a 7-year-old. But like, why are they letting her touch everything? Why is she even in a room with that important shit? Like, basically Daniel's questioning her and Sam is over here like doing her job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I guess Sam was like, well, fine. This is weird what you're doing. But in case she says anything important, can you do it in my office?
Well, because so she gave him a little bit of information. She was sort of like, her father knew there was danger. Mm-hmm. He put her to sleep. But mm-hmm. I don't know what the danger is. And I'm just like, you, et cetera, et cetera. So Daniel's like sort of trying to like subtly grill her. And it's not really working because, yeah, she's sort of like all over the map. And I will say the actress, I think, really good job.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
This is like a robot that's acting like a kid, but it's not a kid. Like, mm-hmm. it's really good and really, like, interesting to watch.
When you brought it up, I was like, what actress? So, I agree. Yeah, I just, like, okay, I need to say this. I don't know that it should be in the episode because I feel like I don't want to further stigmatize people with borderline personality disorder. But when she's like, my dad this and my dad made me wrong. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, he made a borderline fucking robot. You're like intense. You're a liar or histrionic or just cluster B personality disorder robot, basically. Mm. Yeah. He basically made like a mixed type, like, I don't know what it is in the five. Well, it's the same in the five because the only part they didn't revamp, but in the four, it would be like personality disorder, not otherwise specified, with features of all of them. Mm. Cluster with cluster B features. Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe do put it in because Jesus, she's like histrionic. She's borderline. She's narcissistic. She's antisocial. I mean, she woke up lying. Do you know, where's my daddy?
Oh, like, yeah, you true. Know?
You fucking know. You know, and who makes a robot that's so insecure? That's so weird.
Yeah, and Daniel's sort of, I mean, Daniel's getting in there a little bit. She sort of seems to sort of like glob on to Daniel as like the one person she'll talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's there.
Yeah, and Carter, like, I guess is doing her work. And she's like, yo, I feel like I need more information. I need more stuff. Maybe we missed something. Can we go see if there's more stuff? And oh, yeah. McNeil's like, yeah, I'll go see if there's more stuff and I'll bring some people with me to look for stuff. And what I'll do is there'll be like three people and we'll be like, yeah, it's 10 minutes later. We've searched the whole planet. We couldn't find anything. And then this hot dude comes out of the area where I think they've already looked. And he's like, I don't know if I found anything. Do you think I found anything? I don't know if I found anything. And then McNeil's just like, hey, guess what? I'm really difficult to work with. rephrase your introduction to this conversation. And he does. And he's like, it's probably nothing. It's probably nothing, but here's some pieces of a fucking replicator. It looks 100% different than everything around us, but I don't know if it's anything. How'd they miss that? And why would they bring any part of a replicator back to the mountain for any reason? Haven't we been through this? Like, you just don't even bring the dead pieces back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess because there's only one piece, but it just seems really stupid. They don't know these replicators.
No. I mean, they bring it back and it's a Lego piece. It's like the singular modular piece of the replicator. And I guess like each one of those pieces can be like in essence alive or dead or just shut down.
It's dead, but I feel like, you know.
But if it was alive. Yeah, it would have started some shit.
I feel like they fucked this up before.
Bad decision number three.
Yeah, why don't you take your equipment to the planet and examine your robot and your replicator bit there?
Yeah.
They're all talking. Are they reporting? I think they're reporting to Daddy. They're talking about the replicators and what are we going to do? And McNeil is like standing behind DJ and he just picks up one of those huge square magnifiers and just stands behind him and holds it in front of his face and opens his mouth and closes his mouth.
I missed that. That's awesome.
I was like, is that in the script? Or is he just like, let's fuck around with stuff? Like, it's just, it's so funny.
No, that's part of O'Neill's character. We've established that.
Well, I mean, like, he's like literally the best part of the show. Arguably the worst part of that team, right? Like,
yeah.
Why is Daniel going to talk to Reese? The robot's name is Reese.
Reese.
We didn't say.
Yeah.
And hence the title Reese's Pieces. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's why her name was Reese? I thought that would be fun. Daniel Jackson is going to like kind of just takes her into like an interrogation room of sorts where are like a weird surgery suite to like interview her. And then Carter and McNeil are looking on. And for she sees Carter. And like, did they cut out a scene where those two had an interaction? Because she looked at Carter like, oh, I'm fucking kill that bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Why does she hate Carter like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought that was super weird. That's some...
Well, yeah. Well, it makes you think that it's like, yeah, like it is. A lot of it is just pretense. A lot of it is an act. Like she keeps, although they talk about it a little bit, they're like, why would someone make a robot that's kind of like all over the place? And yeah. Daniel's like, it could either be one, a transferred consciousness.
Yeah, it could be like his daughter, right? Maybe put it in an adult body because she didn't want it to be stuck in a kid body forever.
Yeah. Or it's just a faulty robot. There's just, it's like damaged or it was made wrong. Daddy made her wrong. It's one of those
two.
Do you
think it's weird though? Like if you were gonna, I don't know, like if you had a daughter and she was sick and she was like dying at a young age and you were like, well, no guarantee this will work twice. I'm gonna go ahead and put her in an adult body. Would you be like, I'm gonna give her like an enormous rack?
There's some decisions that were made by father, mm-hmm. whoever the fuck that was.
I don't think sure. I want to know that man.
But the ultimate thing is that Carter's like, well, maybe just finally, you should finally just tell her that she's a robot. Let's just get
right,
the,
right, right.
It's time, Daniel. Just do it.
Yeah, so that's like, what they're doing. Right, so they're watching it. That. And McNeil, she's like, this is boring. And McNeil's like, same. And I'm like, same. We're all bored with what's happening right now. Anyways, so again, zero immediate precautions, even fewer than when they turned her on, like woke her up, turned her on or whatever. And so she gets super mad about being told she's not a human.
Awesome.
And she, like Daniel's later literally getting stitches in the back of his head yeah. because she like throws him into a bookshelf. And Daniel is so weird about her. He's not like, okay, well, I mean, okay, like let's say this was like a stray dog that somebody brought in and Daniel's like, I love dogs. I'm going to befriend this dog. And that dog, like, he was like, stop. He's like, no, you don't pee there or don't take my sandwich out of my hand. And the dog like bit the shit out of him over it. Like, would he still be like, everyone, I guess you would. Yeah, I get it. Okay. So he's treating her like a stray fucked up dog. It all makes sense now.
Well, and he's also, I mean, he was kind of the same with the episode with Dom DeLuise. Like he was the one that was like, we got to sort of treat him like a person, you know, we got to we got to, so yeah, you know, he's out there for the wayward robot souls.
I think he's a little bit of an inconsistent guy, but like, yes. Anyway, enter the regular debate between everyone but Teal'c about whether or not they should just move on from the situation or study further, which is what the nerd squad wants. McNeil's like, can we just turn it off and send it to Area 51 and like just move on?
But Daniel sort of still wins out, right? He's like, well, just let me talk to her again.
Well, he and Carter win. Carter doesn't want to turn her off either. He's like, no, let's keep going. And so Daniel goes into this huge kindergarten classroom that she's living in. And she's like, you hate me. You're afraid of me. And he's like, No one's afraid of you. No one's afraid of you.
I mean,
he
rubs his head and he's like, oh, no.
No one's afraid of you.
Yeah. No one's afraid.
And then he looks terrified. And then she's like, oh, good. I made something for you. And pulls out, like, Spot the Replicator.
She's all over the map. She's like, you know, I'm so bored, but I forgive you for attacking me. And he's like, what? Wait, when did I? Never mind.
I'm so bored. I'm so bored, but I did build this.
Oh,
it turns out she didn't really build
replicator.
It. Yeah.
Which and seems I nice. Like, what a nice replicator. Look at that.
Right. And the next thing we see is this replicator in an acid proof, like plexiglass box. And I'm like, should you not also put the robot in one of these boxes? Like you must have them in all sizes. This one is perfectly sized for a replicator. So I was just wondering, do you have another one that's bigger? And they don't though, but they zoom out and everybody's there kind of figuring out what's going on, what to do. And they're watching Reese in through the camera in her room and fucking like, I'm dying. Cause it makes sense. Teal'c is the only reasonable one. He's holding like a machine gun on the cage because Carter's like, I don't know. They might be able to bust through because we haven't tested on their kind of like acid or whatever. So Teal'c is, but there's something so comical about everyone's just kind of chilling. And Teal'c is like, you know, it's in a cage, it's in glass. And Teal'c is just like at the ready. He's just staring at it with a,
ready
to fire.
You know where Teal'c has been for the first half of this episode? Mm. It's easy. He actually has been in the corner, but staring into the room with that gun pointed at Reese this whole time. That's what he's been doing this whole time. But now the replicator's here. Now he's going there. That's all he's been doing the most sensible thing whole time.
Yep. He's like, oh my God, these fucking idiots. I'm not even going to talk to him about it anymore. I'm just going to do what needs to be done. I'm just going to be ready. Like, I can't. They make the weirdest fucking decisions.
He also says a sensible thing where he's like, since we're dealing with duplicators now, perhaps we should contact the Asgard.
Yeah. Listen, this is why they don't include him in the conversations, because they like to do just nonsense. And like, do you think Teal'c has been on Earth long enough and watched enough TV to be like, in his head, he's like, this is some white people nonsense. Like,
they want to mess with strong-ass robots and replicators.
Yeah, without putting it in any kind of like restraints. Like, we have cages.
No,
we have cells. We have cells with bars. Jesus. But like, they show her through the camera and she picks up like some kindergarten scissors and turns it into a fucking replicator piece.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Are you going to put her in a plexi box now? She can turn anything into replicator. Probably not plexi. Yeah, so Sam and Daddy agree that, yeah, we should get the Asgard. And SG2 gets a SG1 assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. They get to go tell the Asgard. We don't actually end up seeing those slimy looking little gnarly fuckers
all
this
off
episode.
Camera.
Yep. Thank God. Or represented by Nordic holograms.
So the gang, they're like, all right, finally, we got to get the truth out. So they go back into the room and they're coming on pretty strong. They're like, you got to tell us what you know right now. We know you're lying. You tell us exactly what happened. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it turns out, though, this is a traumatized motherfucking robot with a temper. And this is some triggering shit to her. So she fucking freaks out at them and starts screaming, you all hate me. My father made me wrong.
Well, like, he made her. The planet didn't want her. Or right. She decided, like, the planet thought that she was made wrong. They were all scared. And she had just made the replicators just on as a whim, like, one
right.
day.
As a toy. And then, so she's like, nobody likes me. They want to kill me, which might be... She's very much like, you know, I referenced Young Frankenstein in my titles, but she is very much like Frankenstein's monster, right? Where it's sort of like, Daddy made her. Maybe he transferred a consciousness into her. And then like the townspeople are like, holy shit, we have to kill that now. What the fuck? And so she told her little toy robot spidery things to just replicate at all costs and protect her. And then they eventually they wouldn't listen to her anymore. And they killed everybody, including Daddy, and then they just went the fuck away. And now they're fighting with the Asgard. They're not really fighting, though, are they? They're just sort of like, I don't know, I was just told by this like weird robot to replicate at all costs, so.
No, I mean, this is a pretty cool origin story. She's the mother of the replicators. I think it's really cool. How they got out of this galaxy into the other one, you never know. But so, this planet, she's crazy old. She is.
Yeah.
Like, that happened a lot. Had to have happened a very long time ago. So that's cool. I really like it.
They take a lot of stuff out of her room, but they haven't taken all the medals out. Like, they're like, no, we'd rather, like, she can access, like, doorknobs and cameras and like probably the frame on any windows if there are any in there. There's probably all kinds of metal all over that room. And she can, I don't know. So whatever. But yeah, they're talking about, they've left her. They're talking amongst themselves. And
well, before they leave, her anger is happening. The replicator in the box is getting a little angry.
Yeah.
At the same time, starting to fuck shit up and is starting to get out of the thing.
It slams itself against the plexi, cracks
it. Sucks.
Sprays that weakened ass box wall with whatever the fuck those things spray. And like, by the way, what kind of toy has a fucking acid spit?
No, yeah.
That's wild. Tell me why is that like that? Reese is crazy.
Well, she
her daddy made her wrong.
She's an edgelord. She's edgy as hell. Like, holy shit.
Well, once he's double weakened that glass, the little replicator is able to just bust right out.
Oh man,
and blows it to, I'm like, good precautions. Teal'c
is clutch. He's ready to rock. He destroys it.
I think, I mean, you know, he can't mind all of them all the time. He's got to be exhausted. He has to do so much extra Kellner ream to deal with this bullshit. And so like McNeil is just like, well, if they wanted to shut her down or kill her, they're a lot fucking smarter than we are. Because what the fuck are we doing right now? Sheesh, what are we doing? Like, this is real, real dumb. But Daddy is like, you know what? You do shut her down.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, one, SG-2 coming back, they couldn't get a hold of the Asgard. And so everyone like just goes off the rails or like, oh, well, maybe the replicators might have gotten to them.
Oh yeah. They might all be dead. Did they lose the war? Dude, maybe you fucking sent SG-2.
Yeah, O'Neill was.
And maybe they're right. They're like right where you left them, but you didn't send SG-1.
They're just busy. They're busy.
Yeah, they're busy. And it's not like it was their McNeil dude.
And that's part of like daddy's thing. He's like, you know, everything y'all been telling me sounds like we're over our heads here. So we're going to shut the robot down.
By whatever means necessary. Do whatever you got to do to shut that thing down.
Oh, this is where I had the note about the room.
Oh, yeah, me too. I do too. I just say now the room is pretty empty, but she can definitely still use all that stuff I said before.
I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of shit in there. It's just weird. It's just like this random rug. And like,
well, you're looking stuff in there and you're like, okay, she just has like some wooden art supply stuff, some paints, a mattress it's all on the soft floor. Fabric. And then you look up in the corner and I'm like, that's.
There's like metal pipes.
There's a fucking camera. Like, yeah, there's, again, I'm sure there's a door. There's all kinds of stuff. So I'm just like,
well,
charge.
Well, she fucks up the cameras. And so they're like, hey, the cameras aren't in it. We got to open up this door.
Oh, I'm just like, and I'm like, oh my God. It's like, why isn't she back on her planet or in a glass box? The next thing you know, like, she's gone. I don't know. It doesn't look like she killed any airmen.
It was all the replicators because the replicators start coming out from the outside.
No, but her replicators didn't. Like we saw wounded, but not dead.
Oh yeah. They held back the replicators.
Right.
A little bit.
So she's controlling them, and so she hasn't done a murder, which is probably important to Daniel liking her, but not necessary, I would imagine. Mm. And I don't know. I'm just like. Sitting and watches going, oh, well, let's just bring back a robot. Let's bring it back to Earth with no information. That sounds like a great idea. And when we find replicator bits, let's not change or reverse course. Doing what we're doing. It's just like, I will say the thing about this episode that annoys the fuck out of me is how much every problem in this episode was created by them. They could have just left her. On her planet, if they'd been studying her on her planet and she started to get a little tweaked out, she'd have been like, get the fuck out of here. And then been like, you know what? Fine. And then they could have like regrouped and planned, but they wouldn't have had an emergency on their hands.
Yeah. And plus that planet was like awesome. Like, you know, if they're like going around and like putting, you know, research stations on planets there, that's top of the list now.
Sure.
They'll be there. They'll see stuff, a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah. Probably like, because replicators don't consume things like plant life. So like the air is probably all cleaned out from that civilization being gone. But structures of the civilization somehow are so good. They're still there.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it was like air quotes ruins, but that shit looked pretty solid to me. I don't know. So they shut down the mountain. Ooh, we see that. We see the
full DEFCON.
Yeah. But here's my question. So when they shut down the mountain, does that like, weird well in the woods where they come and go when the mountain shut down, stay open? Because how weird is that?
A couple of replicators got out. Definitely. There's no doubt about it.
It's okay because they're only made of like earth metal. It's not that bad. Somebody says, who says it, sir? We can't just let her leave. Because like O'Neill's like, yeah. It's obviously Carter. Carter says that. So always calls him sir. But like, because McNeil's like, we could just let her leave though.
Well, she goes into the gate. She's in the gate room with a bunch of her spiders, and Carter's in the control room with Daddy, who is decked out just like they are. Oh,
yeah.
Amazing.
Daddy looks cool as hell.
Yeah. The sweet eye protection, the black tee. Like he's got one of those guns that they've got, which for some reason are like very, like full auto, like insane.
Oh, I know. That gun looks so big.
Yeah. What? Did they figure out that those were the best ones against the ref? They just don't have their normal P90s.
And I'm like, I'm impressed that daddy's been working at a desk this long at his age and can hold that fucking gun up. Yeah,
no, he looked cut. He's spry.
He was like, yeah, I'm spry as fuck. Mm-hmm. He probably gets up like at 3:30 every morning and like runs 8 miles and does a bunch of push-ups.
Military.
Yeah.
Man, I guess. I don't know.
So Daniel wants to finesse the situation.
I guess still. Yeah.
Still. Because she's like, she's put down, there's replicators in the control room where Carter and Daddy are. Then there's, she puts the blast shield or whatever down. And
yeah, she controlled the whole building.
Yeah, but she lets Daniel come into the gate room where he just like starts basically begging her to stay.
Yeah.
Begging her to stay.
I don't want you to go. I want you to be your friend. I'll protect you.
And he's just like, yeah. And she's like, really? 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 And he doesn't like get her in a controlled environment where there's other people. He just immediately goes for it. He just reaches, he reaches for the back of her neck. It's on the side of her neck. Like,
hey, I understand. Like, sometimes those eject buttons are in weird spots on things, you know, like sometimes it's difficult.
You know, and I don't even know what he was trying to do. Maybe he's just, you know, Daniel Jackson, the creeper. And he's like, I'm not going to ask, but I'm going to put my hand on the back of her neck.
Yeah, he actually wasn't trying to do anything.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it. Because like the way she flipped out when he touched the back of her neck is the way I would flip out if I were walking next to Daniel Jackson. And he put his hand on the back of my neck.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she went pure reflex, pure, yeah, defense clasp. She breaks his wrists, I think.
I think so too. Cause she's like, you're trying to like turn me off.
And it's turn working. Me on. I don't know. It's fucked up. Fuck
it's
you.
It's working, Daniel. I've never been less turned on.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, that worked, Daniel. Good job, dude. Like you just made this way worse.
So then her replicators start freaking out. And so they start shooting up the replicators. And then she's like screaming like she can feel what they feel.
I mean, definitely. Like she definitely sort of. Yeah, it seems like it. She could tell when the first one was blown up.
Yeah. And she's like, make it stop. Make it stop. Make it stop. And I think Daniel's like, only you can make it stop. I don't know. But Combat Daddy is like, we've got to self-destruct this bitch. I'm not letting these fuckers out of the mountain.
I love the Daddy Carter duo as they roll down to the self-destruct.
What a cool team. Those two should be best friends.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should be best friends. Okay.
And they start the 5-minute self-destruct. That's going to kill all of them. That's
going
to kill.
I know. And we keep going. And we flash back a few times. We flash back at 3.5 minutes. We flash back at 2 minutes. And God only knows how little time. Later, we get like, okay, let's go turn that off. only 28 floors to take the elevator up to.
Well, and so, and they're like, they're trying to call Jack and they're like, Jack, let us know. Like, you have to tell us when to stop it. We don't know what's going on up there. And he's like, I can't hear you because we're shooting these fucking cannons that we're using instead of our P90s. I can't hear shit right now.
And I was sort of like, doesn't he have like, first of all, why don't they have like earpieces? And also with all that gunfire going on, part of like your military issue is earplugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That
For
would
this
be
reason.
So loud. In that metal tunnel.
But maybe it's so loud that he's got his earplugs in. I don't know. I just am like, is that, somebody let me know. Like, is that what happens if you're like in battle? Like you can't hear your comms anymore?
I always That's think that too. Yeah.
Awful. Like, I feel like in 2023, I hope not. Like,
or like the shows with like Vietnam where like they have just like the handheld phone, you know, dialing on the backpack. It's like, how could any of them hear anything?
I can't believe those worked. I want to know more about that technology. And somebody had to carry that, which meant they were like, you don't get as much stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you're a target.
Yeah. So listen.
Come on, Daniel, you can do it.
You know, Daniel's still trying to confront her and like he's confusing her and she's like, I don't know. And so like, it makes them stop for a minute. They hesitate. Daddy's like, hold your fire. And the replicator's just like, what do I do now? And then Carter jumps to the wildest conclusion. Carter's like, I think they're thinking on their own now because it started moving again. And what had happened, if you were watching in the gate room, was she got pissed off at Daniel. That was when she got mad at Daniel and let them start going again. Like she broke his wrist or whatever. And so she was still controlling him, I thought. But then everyone's like, no, she's starting to lose control. I guess Daniel's the only one in who she wasn't losing control yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Carter got that idea from Reese because they find out, because she tells him, like, at a certain point, like, the replicators gain self-control at a certain point.
She got that idea, but she's a motherfucking scientist.
But yeah.
And a soldier, and she just does not have evidence.
All the replicator does is sort of does back and forth a little bit. Yeah, it's like, oh, should I go in? Should I not? And then it starts up again. But yeah, no one knew, only Daniel, because he was the only one in that room.
But why would you conclude that, like, maybe what Daniel's doing working, now it's not working.
Carter's
like,
paranoid. Why would you do? She knows this is all her fault. And she's like, they let loose her!
Is, but it ultimately is all Daddy's fault.
Ooh, yeah, man.
Because Daddy should have said no. And she should have never proposed it. Like, I know they're not that old of an org, but they've got to create some motherfucking protocols.
Yeah, Daddy, as opposed to, like, getting up at 3:30 and hitting the gym and doing drills, perhaps you should have written some protocol procedures, writing some down.
So anyways, McNeil goes, I don't know, remember how he got in, but McNeil goes into the gate room and as Daniel's like, I don't want you to die, don't worry. And McNeil runs right in and just shoots her.
Oh my God.
Immediately. And I'm like, yes, that makes sense. And I'm just like, you're telling me nobody tried to kill her on that other fucking planet? Like, they should have found a wasted planet because the replicators ate and killed everything, and also a dead robot. And also, once she lost control of them, I guess they didn't turn on her. I guess that's nice. But and then, like, I don't know. It was like Daniel in mourning because, like, McNeil walks away and Daniel is, like, almost, like, crumpled. Like, he's, like, on the floor all side saddle, leaning over her. And I was just like, this dude is so fucking weird.
Oh, well. Okay, well, he shoots her. And then, like, the replicator sort of, like, disintegrates all of them component Lego pieces.
That was cool.
And Carter has to call them to be like, so stop the self-destruct. We got a minute left.
That was wild.
30 seconds. And then O'Neill walks over to Daniel, who's slumped over Reese. And man, I do like that. He's just like, you stupid son of a bitch.
I just McNeil should have been like, you weird, crazy motherfucker.
But I'm saying that Daniel, I don't think Daniel's ever said that to O'Neill before. And like, this is it.
McNeil's taken aback for sure. He's like, you didn't have to shoot her. And he's like, yeah, I did. Duh. You know, I had to do that. That's how this had to go. And he was like, well, you think they stopped because you shot her, but it's not. She made them stop. And I'm like, you don't know that. No, you don't know. You don't know. You think that's true. Because I think Daniel does know McNeil had to shoot her.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I'm going to say this right now. This is why Daniel Jackson leaves the show. Michael Shanks is so in tune with his character. He's such a method actor. He's like, Daniel Jackson would not stay with SG-1. He's too. He's lost.
This is what breaks him.
Yeah.
Not his wife.
No.
Not the Harcesis.
No.
Not the addiction to sarcophagus.
No, the 20 million year old robot.
Not his college girlfriend or whatever.
No, it just all adds up. That's all adds up. It's too much for him.
He's just on the floor going, you don't understand. She reminds me so much of my real doll, but like realer. McNeil does say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, he's kind of like, you know, he's, what he means is, I'm sorry you feel the way you feel, which is kind of the only, like, seems like the right I'm sorry for the situation, but he's nice enough to just end it at I'm sorry. And then he's like, anyway, commence sweep, make sure every little bit of these is cleaned up and gone. Yeah,
every single Lego piece. If there's one Lego piece left, folks.
That's no good. That's no good. That's wrong.
Get Siler in here.
So then, I don't think I wrote it down. I meant to. When Carter and Daddy were going to find the self-destruct and they had to like reroute some things and cut some things open because the replicators had control of all the systems, I was like, hello? Hello, this is a job for Siler. Glasses is here. Why can't Siler's be here? Siler's. Why can't Siler be here?
He was in the episode. His credits were on there, but I didn't see him anywhere.
I didn't see him either. Maybe they cut him out.
No, sounds about right.
No. You know who else wasn't there is your friend.
Dr. Frege?
Yeah.
She was there in the first half, and then she went home or something.
She was?
Yeah, in the first half. Like, there's a spot, like, when Carter is... looking at the nano for the first time, Janet rolls in. It looks like she's late because she's like buttoning up her lab coat. She's like, oh, Carter, hi.
And she was like fucking somebody in the coat closet.
Maybe, yeah.
You don't know she was late for work.
And then she's the one stitching up Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
then right. But then she's not. Then she left.
Anyway, this episode, it's over. Were you comforted by it?
Yeah, I was definitely comforted by it. I thought it was a really cool premise, really cool lore, some really good acting by everybody, and Daddy's just crushing it. I really liked it. What about you, Sarah? Did you were you comforted?
Yeah, I was comforted. I agree with you, and it was fun to watch. Yeah, it was interesting and fun, even though you're like, you guys are so stupid. But what I liked is it was sort of like, there was a through line of consistent like stupidity instead of like all over the map. None of this makes sense. It was sort of like one thing about this doesn't make sense. And that's it. Everything, if you can accept that thing that doesn't make sense does make sense, everything else about the episode makes sense, which is nice. There's only one like kind of moving part where you're like, what? So therefore, yes, I was comforted.
Nice. Well, at the same time, you watching the episode, did you relate in various ways to any of the characters or actors or props or anything? Did you have a yay who you'd like to be, a nah who you would definitely not want to be, or a meh? Eh, maybe. Yeah, that'd be them. I don't know.
My yeah is McNeil because I would love to be able to talk to people like that at a job and still be in charge instead of fired. You know, I like to make jokes for no. I like to make jokes when you shouldn't and when you should. Mm. My meh is Daddy mostly because he's just my yeah runner up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Other than making one really poor, I guess he is a good meh because he's like made one super bad decision. But he did get to be Action Daddy.
Nice.
And he was very competent at being Action Daddy. Almost like he did all this because he was bored. And he's like, you guys have no idea how good I am in the field.
Yeah, no, he was ready. He was ready.
We're going to turn this into the field. And my nah is Daniel Jackson. Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. Don't even know what else. I mean, I said everything. That guy.
All right, cool.
You?
Yeah,
you?
I had a couple.
And you?
My yeah was Daddy, because what a badass. And I don't know if you saw at the very end when they stopped the self-destruct, like they had the key and Daddy's like, and Carter's like, and they stare at each other intensely for a second. It was just cool.
Wow. I wasn't looking for that part.
Yeah. Cool. No, he really rocked it out. My net is Reese the Robot. Just, you know, cause nothing, this was just horrible. Bored. Well, woken up one, bored two, horrible
guilty
realizations all over the map.
Yeah.
Guilty
of
a bunch of shit. Daniel Jackson was her only friend, and then killed.
And like, also he betrayed her immediately.
And he also betrayed her. Like, this is horrible.
And was afraid of her for sure.
And then my meh is O'Neill because, well, he gets to save the world.
Yeah.
Which is great. But now Daniel Jackson, and this means something to him, now Daniel Jackson is probably not trying to be his best friend.
Yeah, not at all. It's probably not even a little bit.
So it's a little sad. It's a little sad.
Yeah. Even if rationally Daniel Jackson can be like, I know he's right. And he did a thing that I couldn't have done. So I'm glad he did it. He still like feels like, fuck that guy. Like as a monster who doesn't care about my feelings.
I really am curious what the in-universe reason is for Jackson to be gone. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it, hear it, whatever.
I like that. I'm making a face at you right now, like I'm pretending to be like, I'll never tell. But the truth is, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. Like as if I remember.
Yeah, can't wait.
Very end of the episode.
Hey, folks, there was a break. You didn't know that, but there was. We had some laptop deaths.
Yeah, you know what? You should really go to our Patreon page because we might need two new laptops. I don't know. My battery is like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to play with the Scarlet. You're going to sound like shit. You can just talk right into the computer now.
Talk to me. Don't talk to them. Talk to me. Sarah, that was a great episode that we just did. But I'm hoping that we have, I'm hoping we have more great episodes on the horizon. I'm hoping that the slide down doesn't happen yet, but you know better than I would about that.
Okay. So I have no idea. How bad does it sound? I don't know. Maybe it sounds like a reckless episode. Okay. We're on season 5. Mm-hmm. The show we're watching is called Stargate SG-1.
Oh, yeah.
And, we are almost at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
What we have coming up is, oh, my God, that funny guy. He used to be on Laughing. It's season 5, episode 20, The Sentinel. So what happens is the Goa'uld have delivered an ultimatum to the people of P2A-018. Up to now, the planet benefited from an automated self-defense device that protected them from Goa'uld attack. For some reason, the device is no longer functioning, and SGC suspects it's due to something Colonel Mayborn's rogue NID team may have tampered with during their visit there. Colonel Sean Greaves and Lieutenant Kershaw are on death row for treason as a result of that visit and get the offer of commuted sentences if they accompany SG-1 to the planet and try to fix whatever it was they did.
Jesus. Wow. What a dense, full of intrigue episode we've got coming up.
Yep. Come try ya.
Come
try ya.
Come try ya.
Come try ya subscribing to our Patreon for no reason other than the fact that Tori here needs a new computer. Like, I mean, yeah, we pay fees to do this. That's fine, whatever. But Tori needs a new computer. And I guess maybe I might... Who knows? Maybe I will soon too. And the thing is, I don't want to buy another computer. I literally only use this computer to do this show. I never, ever, ever use it for anything else ever anymore. Except for once in a while when Amazon's like, oh, no, you can't do that unless you go to a computer. Mm-hmm. Any hoozles? That'd be awesome. Come try paying for this.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah. And well, it's not just that, you know, we got some bonus content up there, and probably get to where we're putting out the shows a day ahead of time on Patreon.
That's
first.
True on there. And now that the seasons of me being sick, my stepfather being almost dead, he's fine, and the holidays are over, maybe I'm going to put some of these episode specific quizzes up. Just for people who pay for them. So it'll be like, you know, we need a tiebreaker in there. No, thank you for the people who did that. We appreciate you. We appreciate everyone who's listening, actually, but
They have come try it all over us, and we're grateful.
And we appreciate them a little bit more than the rest of you.
Yeah, just a bit, a little bit.
Anyway. I mean, I think about them sometimes for no reason during the day. Not so much some of those.
All right, well, come try it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to that. Okay, we are going to go back to the original deck, talking points.
Ooh, great.
Talking point cards for couples. This is, did I introduce it? Did I say, get to know your host with Sarah and Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
Sarah?
There it is.
I did that?
Yep. No.
Now I have.
You did now.
Are you ready?
Yes.
For this episode's question, Tori. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, good luck. This is a big one. If social media did not exist, how would your life be different?
Oh, God. Oh, man, I'd be... oh, man, I'd be happy. I'd probably be married. yeah, I'd be married. I'd be happy. I have all sorts of hobbies. You know, I'd be like me in like 98. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just it's that one Portlandia episode where you get thrown down into the the social media hole. What did they call it? Yeah, and they're like, "Look at this picture of you. Look how happy you were. You weren't thinking about your Netflix list." or the playlist that you had to make or the social. Oh man, just like that. Yeah. I'd be playing the trombone.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I never make playlists, but I used to make mixtapes and then mix CDs. But I don't know, there was a whole tactile part. I guess that's how my life would be different. I would still be doing that because there's something about spreading out all your CDs or like records or tapes or whatever you're going to use to make your mixtape or mix CD and arranging them by vibe. Kind of like, I don't know. I was told that I was really good at making mixtapes. I made a whole bunch of them for my study abroad and I didn't bring most of them home. I gave them to like my other people. Cause I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of cool. And I don't know. A playlist is just like, yeah, that song, and it plays it in whatever fucking order.
You could technically still make them. And I've tried to do that, you know, especially back in the day with like Winamp. Like I would like try to do a digital, or, you know, make iTunes playlists. It's just not the same thing. It's not.
And it's like so easy. Like nobody cares. You're like, I made you a playlist. Okay.
Yeah.
Like you, to make the CDs or the tapes, you had to play every fucking one of those songs. It takes hours.
Yeah. Do the double record.
You know, and you had to like write down, like take notes, like how long is this song? How long is this song? How much time do I have on my tape? And like, you have to be good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's fine. Do you want to know how my life would be different?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, I think you just gave one example. Give me more.
I would probably get invited to more things because now that I'm no longer on Facebook.
Yeah.
And like nobody, once in a while, I've got people who will be like, oh, I want to invite her. She's on Facebook. I mean, I text her specifically, which is very nice. And I'm like, oh, they must really want me to go. Because I think I miss out probably on a whole lot of stuff because I'm not on Facebook.
Well, actually, let me ask again the question. Does it say specifically that if you weren't on social media didn't exist.
Yeah, without social media.
So that's the thing is that like, especially with like invitations, it's like people, they'll make the invitation on Facebook and then just forget about it. They'll make it, forget about it. And so they don't like take the time to like, you know, try to like put it out there into.
Yeah.
We have this like Christmas party, industry Christmas party. AV Seattle industry Christmas party that it's been going on for a while now. Tammy who puts it on, it started very small. And me and my friend Al, you know Al, like we were there since the beginning. We were there at the first one and like the first four. He's not on social media, and so now it's like, she just puts it on Facebook, and that's all where it goes. And I was like, hey Al, you going to this thing? And he's like, what? That's still going on?
It's like, yeah, oh, you've got to tell him about it.
Like the OGs. Some people, so if media didn't exist, more people would be invited to things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we'd get phone calls, we'd get emails, maybe we'd even get some paper in the mail. Because our friend, like, does community theater. He directs the acts on Whidbey Island in Langley. And we would never know if our other friend didn't text us and say, hey, do you guys want to go see Dave's play on this day? And we'd be like, oh, fuck, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's a lot of... Yeah.
So I imagine there's people that I don't see who probably would invite me to stuff, but they don't want to try that hard. So, like, I get tempted, like, okay, I get back on Facebook, but it just makes me so unhappy. So I don't know, like, the only social media I still really engage with is TikTok, and I don't really engage. I just watch. But I will say, without TikTok, I would probably get more other things done and also probably be more bored sometimes, but also not buy some things. Have bought some things that I'm really glad I bought and wouldn't have known about.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's the rub, right? Like, you know, you can technically know about a lot more things.
I wouldn't understand, like, I wouldn't understand contour, face contour at all without TikTok.
Yeah. Or there's stuff that you find. Yeah, I don't know. It's good for that kind of stuff. But I think back to, like, man, like the hours I wasted on MySpace back in the day when I was in my 20s and should have been out there doing stuff, and I got sucked in immediately.
Oh my God, I loved MySpace, but do you remember how horrible the top 8 was?
Oh, that was awesome.
That's horrible. Like, I have, like, this many friends on MySpace, but who do I like the best in order? But only 8 of them.
Yeah.
And then, like, how embarrassing, someone's in your top 8, but you're not in their top 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was a whole thing.
You, like, you juggle them around. It was very much like watching SG-1, where McNeil's always changing his top 8 around.
Yeah. Who are my best friends? I don't, you know, let's find out.
Well, and our mutual, very good friend who lives in Oregon now, we used to watch Top Model together. And so we would, like, you change your MySpace name all the time. So
yeah,
we didn't like somebody who we really, really didn't like that somebody won. And so we changed both our names to insert that person's name sucks, because we're super mature in our 30s.
Yeah.
Super mature.
It was so fun.
Oh, I think she was in her 20s. Wow. Yeah. That's how barely in my 30s I was when I was doing dumb shit like that. So, yeah, I don't think that woman probably ever saw it. So it's okay.
Well, that was some fun. Well, yeah, no, see, that was some fun.
And you could, like, change your music around. And I forgot, like, you could, like, have, like, people go to your MySpace page. Yeah.
Basic coding.
Felt like a genius. Felt like a genius because you can manipulate your MySpace page.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're like, I should be a computer scientist. You were always, you couldn't not be friends with Tom. Constantly trying to unfriend that motherfucker.
What a legend. Well, I mean, at least we can somewhat understand what it was like in the before times. I don't know about maybe some of our listeners.
Yeah, I think it was good and bad. I think, though, that there's some real social justice movements that take off a little bit better with social media.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Twitter can definitely be a tool. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that.
I mean, hashtag MeToo is really important. Black Lives Matters. Things like being able to, like, have a, not just a phone to take videos, but platforms to post them.
Well, it's almost hard. It's almost like you can't really separate social media and, like, the phone technology too. It's like they're kind of part and parcel, you know. Like, think about, like, if we had social media but not phones, or not
the
phones
as we know them, but not social media. Like, why would you even need your phone to do so much during social media?
Yeah, they're almost like they're inseparable in some ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if there weren't social media, I would still be trying to convince all the other white people I know that racism exists. I kind of had an identity crisis after 2020. I was like, oh, Well, I don't have anything to talk about now. Seems like y'all know. Happy Thanksgiving.
MySpace has done my job for me.
Yeah, I'm thankful that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is streaming and I finally watched it. That's all. That's all I have to say this year.
Well, folks, so you know a little more about us. You definitely know that we're Gen X, one.
Mm-hmm. And because you didn't know before, because like most Gen Xers, we don't like to talk about it.
True. But yes, that's where we are. You get the unique, you're the Gen X version. We're glad that you're here with us today. Wait, does podcast count as social media? No. This is media. This is just straight up media.
It's parasocial media.
Yeah. We're the media. You're the parasites, and you're glomming onto us.
Does YouTube count as social media?
Kinda, yeah.
Could podcasts exist without YouTube?
I think so. Yeah. Maybe not now, though. I don't know. Well, in any case, folks, thanks for choosing us as a podcast to listen to out of the plethora. Thanks for listening to this episode in particular. But listen to more at our website, thesevensymbol.com, and all the other podcast streaming sites that are around.
Yeah. I'm super happy that we're appealing enough to you to listen again, because I don't know, sometimes you look at all your podcasts, you're like, meh, meh, meh. And maybe you went, thanks. Makes me really happy. I hope it was worth your time. I hope you're glad you did it.
We want at least a meh. No.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need to go yeah, just go meh.
Yeah. And for some of you, I'm excited. I know some of you, it has to be true. And some of you said, we're like, ooh, there's an episode of that. Sweet. And now you're sad because it's ending.
Yes. Well, and also look at us at our Patreon. Patreon.com/SUFun. It's there. Check that out. Yeah. And what's our email again, Sarah?
Oh, it's verticalwateringhole@gmail.com.
See, that could be, that's the parasocial part right there.
Maybe the parasocial part is where people probably have a sense that they know us, but we don't know anything about them at all.
Well, we've asked them. We've asked them to tell us about it themselves.
And they don't know us, to be fair.
True. Yeah. No, this is all I care
about. They know a couple things. Well, they know a little more about this than they probably ought to.
Yeah. there's a lot of things I've told people on here. They've been paying attention.
I know.
So much.
Listen, sometimes I forget that they're in the room.
Yeah.
And I just start talking to you.
Well, thanks again, folks. And thanks for hanging out with us at the Vertical Watering Hole. Until next time, Sarah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Holy Hannah.
No, what do I say now?
I know, right. Fuck.
Ah, fuck it. Holy Hannah.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't good enough to remember.
We'll figure it
out. Bye.
See ya.
There's nothing physically wrong with them, really. It's nothing like...